It's time for Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. And now, here's your host, Rob Hernandez.
Thanks for joining us here on Talking.Golf. My guest this week made 392 starts on the PGA Tour, won five times, but the big number in his life right now is the number 50. That's the age he turned last October 31st, making him eligible for the PGA Tour Champions. And next week at Trophy Hassan 2 over in Morocco, Mark Wilson will make his PGA Tour Champions debut. Mark Wilson, thanks for joining us, and welcome to Codger status. You're an old man now.
Thanks, Rob. No, I've been counting down the days, believe me. It's fun to actually look forward to 50 and be a rookie again.
What's the process been like getting ready for this? I've talked to a number of golfers that have made the transition into the 50-year-old category, and it's not just showing up at the first tournament you're eligible for. There's a lot of work involved. Can you describe what you've been doing to get ready for next week?
It's been a lot over the years, really. I feel like back in 2018 when I was just so over golf because I had a not real good run on the PGA Tour, I was ready to just kind of pack it in, and I was all into broadcasting. I was so excited to try to do that. And when COVID hit, I started playing a little more golf and realized I still love the game. I think I'm always going to love the game, but I love the competitiveness of it, and thought, you know what? That's something that I have this status basically a year being exempt. It was like, I think I've got to go for it. So really what that meant was Korn Ferry Tour gives two players age 48 or 49 a spot, two spots every week. So it's not very many. It's based on your career money. But from whatever I've been talking to other players that have got to the champ, need to play. Just to feel like you can kind of step out there doesn't make sense. So it was one of those where it's like, okay, let's play as many Korn Ferry events as we can. I went on 48, 49. I played 10. I would love to have played a few more, but there's only two spots in that category. So there were times when guys in front of me played and I couldn't play. So it was still great to get those reps in and feel like you're preparing for a tournament and doing all that. So that was the kind of the last 2 years. With that said, I ramped up my training in the gym. That was something certainly part of my PGA Tour career, but even more so, I think, important with my PGA Tour Champions career, from what I've heard and the way my body was feeling. I feel, I wouldn't say stronger, but I feel less injury prone right now than I was maybe 3-4 years ago, where you kind of just get out of bed a lot of times and you're like, wow, why is my back hurt? Why is my neck bad? So I've been very diligent about basically three strength workouts a week and a couple mobility workouts. And then just playing golf with, now that I live in Greenville, South Carolina, playing with some young players that are on the Korn Ferry Tour, the PGA Tour, some 20-somethings, getting those competitive juices going, seeing where my game stacks up. And, just doing all those little things. And so I feel like I'm wiser now about using my time, because that's the thing, being having a family, it's tough to fit it all in, but all these little pieces are so important to get myself ready, as ready as possible when the bell rings.
I think maybe one of the biggest compliments that can be made toward you is, much like Mario Tiziani, you don't look much different than you did when you started your career. Physically, you're the same. I mean, you haven't lost hair like maybe Steve Stricker. you're still the same Mark Wilson that most of us remember when you won the state am back in '96. Do you feel that way?
Well, a lot more gray hairs. There's no doubt about that. When I get my hair cut and I look down there, it's like, wait a second. I thought I have a few brown hairs up there, but it looks like I'm all gray. I feel pretty good. I really do. I don't feel that much different. Playing multiple rounds back-to-back days many times, I think, is the thing that I haven't done a lot of, and that's why playing those Korn Ferry events was so important. You play a lot of pro-ams on the PGA Tour Champions, so I'm certainly preparing myself for all of that. But overall, Rob, I do. I feel pretty fit. and not that much different than I did, say, in my mid-30s.
So it's been almost 10 years since you played what I guess many would term a full schedule on the PGA Tour, 21 times in 2015-16. So I know you went into broadcasting, but during that stretch from then to now, how did competitive golf kind of fit? And you mentioned that you kind of got maybe not necessarily burned out, but, you know, over golf. What you know, prompts that? And is it just is it all based on success or lack thereof, or is it just kind of the grind of traveling every week?
I think it was a little bit of everything. It was neat that I could travel with my family up until probably 2013 when my oldest son now got into kindergarten. And it was like all of a sudden they're traveling with me less. And I felt pulled different directions. You know, I felt like if I was home, I felt like I should be, you know, working on my game or at a tournament. And if I was at a tournament, I felt like, oh, I should be home helping Amy out with just the craziness of having three kids under the age of six at home. And
yeah.
And so it was one of those where I didn't handle that very well. And then I started going down rabbit holes of, you know, my game's off. I don't think my game was a whole off. It was really maybe more the mental approach and that kind of stuff. But then I started going, and all of a sudden you can't get back what felt so good. And I mean, I always would measure 2011 was my year where everything clicked, all parts of my game. I won a couple of times. You know, played the Masters for the first time. That was when it's like, wow, golf seems somewhat easy. And then when you go into like a slump, I'm like, okay, what was I doing back then? I watch video. I try to get the feels back. Sadly, your body changes a little bit. You can't, the same feel that works years before doesn't exactly work the same, even though I tried with thousands of golf balls to recreate that. You know, and it's just, it's not the same feel. And so, when it got to be 2018, when I had my year that I could play Korn Ferry events and PGA Tour events, if I got into as a past champion, I kind of divided my schedule up. I didn't focus solely on the Korn Ferry Tour when I probably should have, because that's the way to best way to get back to the PGA Tour. And I think it was in August, finally, I looked at Amy and I was like, I think I'm done. What else can I do with all this useless golf knowledge in my head? And I was always intrigued by the broadcasting and so kind of did what I could in PGA Tour Live and PGA Tour Productions was really PGA Tour Entertainment, I should say, was very kind to me. And I'm still going to do some radio events this year. I love it that much that I'm going to probably do three or four PGA Tour radio events. So you'll hear my voice on SiriusXM every once in a while.
And I know, you know, we saw you one of the years at the AmFam Championship. So you've done PGA Tour Champions events. From that window, what was your impression of the tour, and did it make you excited to join it?
Very much so. I think the guys are very competitive. That's for sure. So there's this outlet where you can go ahead and play competitive golf again at the level that you probably should be playing at. Let's face it, I played five or six mini tour events in South Carolina because I missed that. But then I also felt like, should I really be doing this here? Because it doesn't really make or break my year if I win or lose that day. Whereas some of the guys I'm playing against, it does. It matters. And but I wanted the competition. So now here's a place where you are totally welcome to come play, and you should play. So it looks, I do have a bit of fun. I think that everyone takes themselves a little less serious than we did on the PGA Tour from what I could tell from my observations broadcasting. But that hasn't taken out the desire to compete at a high level and do good and you know, hit good golf shots and still get that amazing feel. Yeah, I'm in the car right now, Rob, with my son. We're driving. Yeah, 85 South, you bet. Yep. you still get that feel of a pure hit golf shot or a putt when you're really nervous and you somehow have an 8-footer, do something special, and you roll it in. That feeling, I can't recreate that too often, even in a money game at the club. You know, so – I'm excited to kind of get those juices flowing again. And I know there's going to be times when you don't pull that shot off and it feels lousy. but you've got to embrace both sides of it if you're going to be out there to really enjoy the good side.
What was October 31st of last year like for you? Was it a big party, or was it just another day in the life of Mark Wilson?
It was a little bigger party. Yeah, we had a lot of people over. You know, trick-or-treating was our home base for the neighborhood. The home base for trick-or-treating was kind of our house, which was really cool. My wife catered a bunch of food, and I dressed up, you know, like a guy from the 70s, curly hair, crazy. It was a lot of fun to kind of unwind a little bit. And you know, I guess the only thing that was unfortunate, I couldn't go to a tournament the very next week. I had to kind of wait it out. But as Jerry Kelly told me, being a guy that was born, I believe, in November, it was actually a great thing to be able to kind of start the season as a 50-year-old and have the whole year.
You mentioned that you get now, as a five-time PGA Tour winner, you get a certain exempt status on the PGA Tour Champions. What, can you describe what that means, and how long can you ride that that status?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm telling you, the eligibility of PGA Tour events, PGA Tour Champions, it's a thick book, right? And so if you want some falling asleep material, go ahead and grab that book. Anyways, my category is, and I forget the exact name of it. I want to say it's PGA Tour winner category or something, but it's just while you're age 50. So I literally have it while I'm age 50 at most tournaments, about 20 on the schedule of 28 events called open events, have two spots every week for guys age 50 that have won four or more times on the PGA Tour. Or if you've been lucky enough to win a major and another tournament, that counts as well. And so since I have the five wins, it's kind of that two-spot thing. Now, if I was coming out at the same year as you know, Jim Furyk and Tiger Woods, and they both want to play the event, well, I don't get that one. But I'm the only guy in that category at this point. I think Chad Campbell might be turning 51 soon, so he's in that category with me as well. But he's got more career money than me. And so it's kind of a pecking order, Rob, of a bunch of stuff. Career money on the PGA Tour and Champions Tour combined is really the big one. That's the big number. That's how players get in first. And then after that, you get in so many different ways. And one way is through this PGA Tour wins category that I'm really lucky to have. Because I have some friends who've made more career money than me, like just a little bit. And they've had some trouble getting into events, right? Yeah. But for instance, the Morocco event is considered a non-open event. It's an invitational, but I happen to get in by two players on my career money number. So the Morocco event I'm getting into is not because of my wins of the age 50. It's more my career money. So if you're not confused yet, let me continue. But anyways, the category you're talking about is really just a one-year thing. When I turn 51, it's over. I turn 51 October 31st. We'll be in the playoffs at that point. It won't matter. I'll have to qualify for those events based on my play. So it's really a really nice thing to have that this very first year I can kind of plan my schedule.
So if the PGA Tour website is correct, your first PGA Tour events were in 1998, U.S. Open in June, and then the GMO. And do you remember what it felt like back then? And are there some of the same feels going into the PGA Tour Champions as a quote unquote rookie?
I think it's going to be a little different. I'm still going to be nervous, anxious, excited, but with so much more experience than that kid who teed up at Olympic Club and the U.S. Open, with all kinds of expectations and total belief in himself. And with that said, also, starstruck because I was bumping into the guys that I idolized on TV. So it's going to be, I don't think the nerves and stuff will be that high, and the giddiness, but I'm still going to feel it to some degree. Thankfully, I have a lot more experience and wisdom to know how to kind of deal with some of that stuff that I didn't necessarily back then.
What are you most looking forward to over the, you know, this stretch here of being, you know, a first year player on PGA Tour Champions? Who are you looking forward to, you know, maybe reconnecting with and that kind of thing?
you know, a lot of the guys I played practice rounds with back in the day, like a Jason Bone, you know, reconnecting with them, and even some of the Hall of Famers, you know, like Ernie Els and Bernard Langer, and playing alongside them and seeing where my game stacks up. You know, Bernard's done such an amazing job, and, you know, sometimes I like to lean on my lack of distance off the tee as a reason why maybe I can't compete. And, you know, I think I hit it further than him. So that excuse is out the window, Rob. I can't use that one anymore. It's going to be really neat to see how he manages his game and finds a way to shoot around 15 under par for three rounds almost every single week and keep adding that win tally. There's a few names that come to mind. But I think it's going to be just neat to see so many people that, you know, I haven't really seen in 5 to 10 years on a regular basis. And then we're going to be living life together week to week out there, you know, catching up and, you know, grabbing dinner together and all that kind of stuff. And hearing, you know, back some of these people, last I saw them, you know, they had kids in diapers or, you know, maybe just getting into school. And now we're talking about college and, you know, what they're doing. So it's going to be really neat to reconnect.
Schedule-wise, what does it look like? How much will you play? Do you still try to take breaks? Or given that this is a one-year thing, do you feel you have to play every week you can?
At this point, I'm planning on playing every week I can. They have built-in off weeks, which makes it really nice. So you feel like you're not missing out. And we'll go from there. I do plan on skipping a few events at some point. I just don't know which ones at this point. Because there are some stretches where there's 4 weeks in a row, and we got other stuff I want to do, watch my sons play golf in their tournaments and family things. But at this point, you know what? I committed to everything. It's one of those, just like when I was – on the PGA Tour and I was a rookie. So I checked the box on every single event, you know, and I still remember when I got into the Bob Hope last minute as an alternate on site, and I was way down the list of alternates, but there's nobody else there. So I happened to get in the tournament. I remember Phil Mickelson was a group right behind me, and we got up on a tee and he looked at me and he goes, "So you commit to every event?" You know, I'm like, "I do," you know, because you don't know which ones you're going to get into. But to a Hall of Famer like that, they don't understand that. And it makes sense. They can't commit to everything because the tournament will wrap its marketing around him coming. So we'll play it as it goes. But this year with the status I have is such a great opportunity. I feel like I got to go play almost every week.
This might be the hardest question I ask you. Your kids, how old are they, and what is their involvement in golf?
17, 14, and 12. And my oldest is playing a lot of competitive golf. Had a great run in some South Carolina Golf Association events last fall. We actually had three top five finishes. And so now we're looking at the college thing and where he might go, and still working hard at it. Of course, hits it further than I do, which isn't saying a lot. But I'm hitting into the green first, so I can put the pressure on him, right? My middle son, freshman in high school, is going to try out for the golf team and, you know, shoots in the upper 80s, low 90s at this stage and really enjoys the game. And he's growing a lot, so it's always tough to kind of manage your bottom point when you're growing, feel like an inch every day. And then my youngest son, he's actually got a really good golf swing. He plays a little bit with us, but just more recreationally, and he's more into acting and singing and that kind of stuff. So you find me in the theater a little bit more often than I thought I would be.
And the names in order from oldest to youngest?
Oh, Lane, Cole, Graham.
Gotcha.
So we're all about the one syllables.
That's true. That's true. I imagine you're looking forward to the AmFam Championship, but it's a team event, and it's an invitational. How does that work in terms of, you know, if you get in, who do you play with? And it's a little bit different than it would have been the last 6 years.
It sure is, yeah. And I know at this point I'm kind of on the players to be chosen, right? I'm not on the side where I have the ability to choose a player. So I'll be lobbying, you know. I keep thinking I should text Jerry and see. He's probably got a partner, but I figured, you know, put a couple of cheese heads together. But I'll be lobbying, you bet. I'm sure some good play early will make it a lot easier to be chosen.
Well, Jerry told Gary D'Amato about a month ago that he was waiting for someone to choose him, but then yesterday told me he's going to partner with Justin Leonard. So I thought that was interesting. I know.
See, that's my problem. I got to be quicker on these things. That's my bad.
Well, it's the first time anybody they've had this team event. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, getting ready for the prom. I mean, are you going to be asked or do you got to ask someone? I mean, that's kind of the deal. But team events, I mean, you know, you grew up in the Tiger Woods era from junior golf on. You know, it feels like we're getting ready for his potential coming with team events. You know, I think Joe Durant said he'd like to see maybe a Stableford event. You know, do you see the tour changing a lot as you go forward?
You know, I don't know exactly. I haven't heard a whole lot. I'm just excited to be a part of it. I think from my experience, though, being on the PGA Tour board, there's always something to talk about. There's always something to make your product better. Things are evolving, and if you're not evolving, you're probably going backwards. And so the PGA Tour organization has always been so on top of all that stuff, and I'm sure it's going to be the same way on PGA Tour Champions. And whatever we can do to make it comfortable for Tiger Woods to come, we're going to do that. That would be really cool if you would play a bunch of events starting the next year. Zach Johnson also turns 50, you know, in about early in 2026. So there's always a few more new great names that kind of can continue the tour's popularity, and I hope to be a part of many years to come.
Do you remember when you first paid attention to the senior tour?
You know, I'm kind of a golf nerd. So, I mean, I had a lot of memories. The one that sticks out was watching Larry Loretti win the U.S. Senior Open with the big stogie in his mouth. And I don't know what year that was. I'm thinking that was probably early 90s.
Yep.
So that's kind of one of those where I kind of remember. But I certainly paid way more attention to scores and courses in the last few years, mainly because it was part of my job to keep up with these guys. And, you know, when I was out there broadcasting, I wanted to know what they were doing, what the courses were like. And that kind of forced me to do it when I was working for Golf Channel for those few events. So I dove deep in, and had the tour send me, you know, final round coverage of every event from last year so that I can wrap in that sense, because a lot of the courses are new. Some of them I've obviously played on the PGA Tour back in the day, whether it's Flint or stuff like that, or even in junior golf, I played the one we go into Tucson, but some of them are very new, and so it's always nice to see on TV the year before how they kind of played to get a feel for it, so you don't completely go out in that first Pro-Am completely blind.
You know, I think they started the Champions Tour to, you know, continue to showcase Jack, Arnie, Gary, all those guys that, you know, kind of put golf on the map. But at the same time now, it's evolved into not only showcasing great, you know, Hall of Fame talent, but you still have the Cinderella component to it with guys like Tim O'Neill and Scott Parel. Is that kind of a neat aspect of this? And are there guys that on the tour? Now, you talk about Larry Loretti. I mean, you know, back then, you could smoke a stogie and play golf at the same time. I'm not sure you can do that now because everyone seems to come in, you know, fit as a fiddle and trying to, you know, maintain what they look like, what they felt like on the regular tour. But you still get basically all sides.
You do, yeah. Rocco still got his cigar going.
That's true.
So they're still out there, believe me. And he might have shoes on occasionally if he decides to wear shoes. I think
that's
he
right.
has to during tournament play. But yeah, a little more low key like that. But yeah, so many different types of players, and you know, being a Cinderella guy like me, I love the Cinderella story. I think it's a cool part of the game. I don't think the best product is to just have exhibitions, you know. And I think if you only have the Hall of Famers playing, the guys that people want to see because they're a name. I don't think that's the best thing. There's a place for that. Those are those Monday, Tuesday exhibitions where you get people together and they have a lot of fun. But in terms of actually getting in competition, I think it's cool to every once in a while have that Monday qualifier story, or a Stephen Alker who came out from a 30-year career on playing all over the world and then came out and he's kind of dominated you know, on PGA Tour Champions. I think those stories are really cool, and I think they add to the flavor of what the Hall of Famers bring to the PGA Tour Champions. Of course, I'm biased because I'm one of those guys that is not moving the needle in terms of people watching. And I get to reap the benefits of having Fred Couples and Ernie Els decide and tee it up every week, and I'm grateful for that.
So, I mean, you took Tiger, or you played Tiger in the finals of the U.S. Junior. You went to North Carolina, what we would call a blue blood golf school. Did you see your career as a Cinderella career on the PGA Tour, or was it more than that?
I saw it that way, certainly. I felt like a bottom feeder for the most part, and I had my little glimpses there. You know, obviously 2011 through 12 was my highlight where I was wondering how high up in the game I could go. That was really neat to kind of feel that. I just feel extremely grateful for being able to play professional golf for as long as I did. It was a dream when I was a kid to play in the NBA and on the PGA Tour. And, you know, the NBA dream died pretty easily. But the PGA Tour, I somehow managed to get it there, and I think I've gotten a lot out of my game. You know, I don't think it's flashy. I don't think it's, you know, extremely pretty all the time. You know, when I watch old footage of me winning tournaments, it's like I just scrap it. I get it done, you know, and I'm proud of that. Yeah, I'd love to have a prettier golf swing like Xander Schauffele these days that hits it 320 yards in the air. But I've realized that's not who I am. I feel like I have maximized it, Rob. There's no doubt about it. With that said, us golfers are greedy, and you want as much as possible. So I'm excited for this next opportunity and what I can do.
I'm not sure turning 50 allows you to reflect yet on what you've done, because there's so much more to go. But, you know, the first date that I have written down here on my cheat sheet is 1996, when you won the state am at Cherokee. You've done a lot to that point, but that was a big one, and it's kind of funny you'll be going back to what was Cherokee at the TPC Wisconsin for the AmFam Championship, if asked. But I would hope now that, you know, someone would realize that you want a state amateur on that course, and so
there you go.
Grass is different, and some of the routing of the holes are different. You're the man at Cherokee.
I like that. I'm going to use that. Yeah, it's like a campaign. I'm using that, Rob. Thanks for the reminder. Tom Strong was the man back then in Wisconsin amateur golf, and he was, you know, beating up on all of us college guys. So it was neat to go head-to-head with him down the stretch and get that win. I have great memories of that and shooting pretty well under par for what I'd done in my career at that point. I hadn't gone as low as I had collectively over numerous days. So that was neat. I had you know, a lot of good that happened there that week, and that's a memory I'll always cherish. I'm still sad I didn't finish it off next year with a back to back at North Shore, but it was cool to get that one, and that was a big moment for sure.
Well, it's not like you lost to a cupcake at North Shore. I mean, Mark Bumowski was
right
for many decades, and I mean, we look back on that between Gene Haas setting the pins. And and some of these guys, being, you know, career amateurs that really played the game at a high level. I mean, Mark, you know, contended well in U.S. senior events. I mean, that upbringing must have prepared you pretty well for being in this game this long.
It did. I loved Wisconsin golf in that sense. Like when I was at the University of North Carolina, a lot of my teammates were choosing, you know, some of the national tournaments over their state am, and I just didn't understand that. But obviously maybe it wasn't as cool as Wisconsin golf was. So I'm very grateful to Gene Haas and everything he put into making Wisconsin golf so great. So I have great memories, you know, being even before as a teenager, playing all those tournaments and then moving on right to play alongside Tom Strong and Mark Bumowski and all those Nelthorpe Cups. I mean, yeah. My buddies, Dave Roche, Andy Podolak, and Ivor Zermanis, we still are nostalgic about those. Those come up every once in a while on a text string. Like if one of us finds something, you know, a bulletin or one of those pamphlets from that back in the day, those are great memories. And they were all great things for us to really test our games at different different venues and in different types of competition that made you feel uncomfortable. You know, here we are playing against the pros in these Nelthorpe Cups. It's like, whoa, this is wild. And, you know, I think we came out on top one time, which was really cool. So, yeah, I have great great respect for Wisconsin golf and great gratefulness for what it really helped me as a player.
You brought up those three names, and it feels like Wisconsin's version of Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler. I mean, you guys were kind of the Brat Pack back then, weren't you?
Oh, we had a lot of fun on the golf course and off the golf course, you bet. And still, even though we don't see each other very much anymore, still really good friends. And we can, you know, pick it up any tomorrow. If we show up at a golf course somewhere, we'd have a great time.
And kind of closing on this, I mean, your state open win in 2001 was kind of a, you know, you were in that bridge from, you know, amateur golf to what you're doing now. As you look back on that victory, what did that mean? I know you had kind of, you know, you were second to Steve Stricker in 98 at Trappers, but I remember that being kind of a bit of a runaway for Steve. But 2001, Black Wolf Run, that was pretty solid. How did that impact what was to come?
Yeah, I remember, you know, taking down Jim Schumann, right? We had, it was me and him, and we both had Dave Rasmussen as our coaches, and it was one of those where I knew how good Jim was. And it was funny, too, because I always idolized how he hit the golf ball and how he, that little butter fade, and here I'm hooking it. And then at the end of the week, I remember him going to Dave going, man, I want to hit that draw that Mark's hitting, and, you know, here I want to hit the fade that Jim's hitting. So great memories there. I think the big thing there was, like, I think I had a 3 or 4 shot lead on the last hole. It was a little dark, and I still remember, you know, being anxious about that. And Spongy, Dave Spengler, you know, piped up for all of us and said, you know what, I think I have the most to lose here. I'm like tied for third, way behind you guys. I'd rather come back tomorrow if it's okay. I'm like, okay, good. That sounds good to me. I didn't want to be the guy to have to say it. And I think I made a par bogey on the last hole, a hole that had water everywhere on the 18th at Black Wolf on that Meadows course, that, you know, a disaster can happen easily. And so it was nice to get that one through. And, you know, at the time playing on mini tours, every little cent counted. To get that winner's check was big to help me kind of, you know, just have some money in the bank and have some belief that this is what I should be doing as I headed to the PGA Tour qualifying school that next year.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be fun to follow you here on PGA Tour Champions. Four cheeseheads on the tour between you, Mario, Steve, and Jerry. It kind of feels a little bit like old times. You know, maybe Mario filling in for JP or, you know, that kind of thing, and Skip. But and Skip will probably, you know, hopefully get into, you know, the AmFam. He did quite well last year. So it'd be really fun to see that. But for you, Mark, wish you nothing but the best. We appreciate the time, and good luck on this new leg of your professional career.
Well, thanks, Rob. I appreciate all your kind words for so many years, and I'm excited for the next stuff to come, and look forward to seeing you at a golf tournament down the road. Thanks to all the fans, too, in Wisconsin, everybody that's pulling for me. I can feel the energy from everybody.
Well, I appreciate that. That's Mark Wilson here on Talking.Golf.